Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, joins us again today. Hi, Terry.
Hello. And I know what Carrie Peck must have said. I love Carrie. We've done some programs together. And now everybody who listened to Carrie and said, you're right, honey, we should really do that. Do that. It never gets done if you don't say, do that. And I will give you a tip that will save you money doing that. I get nothing out of this. On TerrySavage.com, top right corner is my personal financial organizer. Fill it out first. In fact, if you scroll down on the right side under links, it says Terry Talks Wills, Estates, and Planning. And, of course, I mentioned Carrie Peck in that video, which I did for Aetna Life Insurance, which they gave me the video and I posted it. You'll save a lot of time and money and aggravation if you will have the big discussions first. Who are we going to leave what? Doesn't mean you have to tell your kids, but do we agree on how we're going to divide it up? Do we agree? This is not in the lawyer's office. What you talk with your spouse about, or yourself. Who's going to be my executor of my estate or the successor trustee of my revocable living trust? And that video on TerrySavage.com, by the way, in one of the boxes on the right, scroll down under financial links, talks about all these issues, why a revocable living trust is what you really want to do, how you get organized so the process is painless. You're not sitting in your lawyer's office going, I don't know, honey, I don't think Joe's good enough to do this. We should tie it in with somebody else. That's just a waste of time and money for everybody.
Speaking of money, Terry, good advice. Thank you for that.
I know you didn't mean to start there, but I was just listening to your
It's all good stuff.
Okay.
So what's foremost on your mind today? The preview
of
the Fed?
The Fed. I mean, it's foremost on everyone's mind, and it's about to happen. And when it does, we'll probably see that there was a 50 basis point rate increase. And the question is, what can you read of the tea leaves about what happens later in the press conference? But basically, a very interesting thing has happened. Short-term rates, like let's talk about Treasury bill rates, have climbed over long-term rates. Let's take the 10-year Treasury, by the greatest amount since 1980. So you remember, for a long, long time, I've been talking, when I first brought it up, I went, oh my goodness, you can get 3.5% on a six-month Treasury bill. The banks aren't being nice to you. You better take your money out of CDs and just go direct to the Treasury. And that was about 5 months ago. Today, and they auction off new six-month bills, new borrowings by the government every Monday. Today, the six-month Treasury bill is yielding 4.7%.
Wow.
So that means if you went to buy Treasuries, you would be Monday. We don't know exactly what the rate will be, but in the range of it. But the 10-year Treasury note, which was at 1.5%, I think it's just about a year ago. I'd have to look at the chart. And was up over 4% last month. I used a chart in a speech I gave. The 10-year Treasury note is backed off a little, 3.76. So right now, short-term rates at 4.7 and longer-term rates at 3.7, a little change, that's a big spread, and that's called an inversion. We're just not going to try to get into economics, but usually if you're going to lend money for a longer term, you demand a slightly higher rate because you figure, hey, there'll be some inflation out there. I should get paid for tying my money up. Now, longer-term rates are below short-term rates, and almost every time, not every time, but almost every time this happens, there's a recession. An interest rate inversion typically precedes a recession because it shows the Fed is squeezing. So we haven't had this recession. We had some mediocre job news this morning. The economy's strong. It's going to be a very interesting year ahead.
Well, there's the understatement of the day. But so here's my next question, Terry. We'll pause here, update our listeners on markets and traffic, and then come back. But has your advice then on T-bills and I-bonds as investment vehicles short-term, if nothing else, changed at all? Are you want us to double down? What's your thought about that? You're giving a talk soon, aren't you, Terry?
I am, and this is the first time they've let me announce it in public, but I want to let you all know about it because it's free. It's put on by AARP Illinois, and they are having an all-day Maximizing Your Money Summit at the UIC Student Center on Saturday. I'm speaking first thing Saturday morning. If you go, it's free, but if you go to terrysavage.com, above the whole big blue headline box, there's a banner. It's where I get them to put it up real quickly, and a link to register here, a phone number also to call, because seating is limited. And the secret is there's also an online version of this, again, put on by AARP Illinois. I will be speaking, but not only will I be speaking, there will be some seminars throughout the afternoon on everything from dealing with your Social Security, talking about financial apps, all kind of, the Illinois Department of Aging will be there with the kind of benefits seniors might access. I'm going to focus on things that you plan for in retirement, or maybe you didn't. You heard my outburst about estate planning. That'll be part of it. And there'll be time for questions. It's at the UIC Student Center, the University of Illinois Student Center, and it's on Saturday morning at 8:30. And the link to register is at terrysavage.com, and it's free.
Here's a couple of text messages. What do I do with some very old savings bonds that I just found?
Oh, good for you. Well, you have to go to treasurydirect.gov, and you should put in the search box cash in paper bonds, and you are now about to go through a long process. It'll probably take 13 weeks to get the money. It used to be you could go to the bank and say, okay, it matured, cash it in. But now you have to send them to the Treasury certified. You have to wait for them to cash, to convert them to actually digital bonds and cash them in. And yes, you do have to pay ordinary income taxes on the federal income taxes, that is.
Why are they making it so hard? What's up with that?
Well, it's this conversion from paper to digital. You know, if you go to Europe, for example, you don't want to take cash. Nobody wants American dollars. Remember after World War II, the soldiers went and you got an American dollar. It was really fabulous. Everything is digital. Nobody has traveler's checks anymore. Yeah. Nobody wants paper anything, except for all the people with crypto who thought they were the ultimate digital.
Yeah.
Sorry, just came to mind.
Suddenly a cash looks good. John, the word is out about I-bonds. Thanks, Terry. But now I'm hearing that TIPS, TIPS, are a good choice over the next 5 years or so. They're even more confusing. What does she have to say about the trade-offs between the two?
Okay, TIPS are Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. Item one, do not buy TIPS in anything outside of a retirement account, because as this presumable adjustment for inflation gets added to the value of your bond every year, I'm skipping to the bottom line first, as it gets added, you get a tax bill. Now, if you bought a TIP inside Treasury Inflation Protected Bond inside your IRA, doesn't matter anyway, because you don't get a tax bill. Number two, if you want to buy Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, buy a mutual fund, a no-load fund, American Century Funds. I've owned my TIPS bond fund. I just can't even remember how long. So it didn't do much good when the rate on the bond was low and inflation adjustments were low. But when inflation picked up, those bonds gained value. But again, that's inside an IRA. And maybe I better write something about it, because other than that, it's pretty complicated.
We'll leave it.
If you're not inside your IRA, you shouldn't do it. Do it only in an IRA. And instead of just going to the Treasury and buying those directly, I think you should buy those inside. I think Fidelity has one too, a TIPS bond fund.
312-981-7200. Remember, a podcast of these conversations gets posted at WGNradio.com. You'll see a link on our podcast page to the Wintrust Business Lunch. And if Terry said something, you said, wait, I need to hear that again, it'll live there. Please ask Terry, when will I see the interest added to the $10,000 worth of I-bonds last April? Checked a couple of weeks ago, and the balance was still 10.
It'll show up. The interest on I-bonds actually shows up in the fifth month, maybe toward the end of the month, after you purchase them. And as long as they show up inside your securities, inside the your account at Treasury Direct, don't worry about it. The reason it shows up late is, first of all, it accommodates the 3 months potential penalty, which they wouldn't know about till you were at the end of the fourth month, and then they don't pay until the fifth month. But don't worry about it. As long as your I-bonds show up inside your account at treasurydirect.gov, the interest will make its way in there shortly.
This is Rhonda on line one. You're on with Terry Savage. Hi, Rhonda. How can we help you?
Yes. Hi, Terry. I have a quick question for you about life insurance. And we're kind of in a dilemma. My husband is 65. He has a term policy. Mm. He's in reasonably good health now, but he did have a couple bouts of cancer in the past. So we found out it would be difficult to get like a better deal. Anyway, the way it's set up, it's good for 5 more years before it ends, and we're currently paying over $200 a month, so it ends up being like $2,500 per year, and the total death benefit would be like $210,000. So, I mean, we could really use that money now, but yet, this is going to sound horrible and morbid, but yet, if we discontinued it and then he drops over dead, I've just lost $210,000 that could, you know, help our kids,
I got it.
Help pay bills. You know, I feel
right,
terrible
so,
asking this.
This is tough math, but you didn't get an answer to the most important question, which is, if you run it out through the 5 years, paying $2,400 a year, you have 5 more years left, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
So the question is, do you know what the rate will jump to in order to keep the insurance in force in year 6, 7? I mean, I forget how old he is, but he's 65, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So at 70, he survived cancer, but his life expectancy is another easy 15 years, just actuarially speaking. The insurance companies might not figure it out that way. But so the question is, do you know what will happen at the end of 5 years? Ask them. They're going to probably tell you that in order to continue the policy, you'll have to pay $10,000 or $11,000 a year. That'll be shocking. So I think that the greatest regret, this is not a financial decision, the greatest emotional regret would be, you know, we didn't pay the $2,500 a year for the next 5 years. I would suggest you go ahead and pay it. Keep the life insurance in force. If it's wasted money because he doesn't die in the next 5 years, you're happy because he was there. You're getting his Social Security benefits and all the other great things about having your spouse with you. And then when you see what that price jumps to, that's when you drop the policy because it will become exorbitant.
That's Terry Savage. Remember her website. Good luck to you, Rhonda. We appreciate your call. It's terrysavage.com. By the way, Bob Kessler, what are you looking at?
Well, Fed Chair Jerome Powell now giving that speech at the Brookings Institution. The takeaway, we have more ground to cover. He says the Fed will push rates higher than previously expected and keep them there longer to fight this stubborn bout of inflation. These are from written remarks, and they're now being delivered. He also signaled the Fed may increase its key interest rate by a smaller increment at its December meeting, only a half point after 4 straight 3/4 point hikes. So that did send the markets up. They're now all in the green. Dow up just a fraction. S&P 500's up about 15. NASDAQ's up about 102.
What do you think, Terry?
Well, I texted Pete, our producer, and said, breaking news. This is about what was expected. The indication, though, that he's willing to talk about slowing it. He says, quote, it makes sense to moderate the pace of our rate increases as we approach the level of restraint that will be sufficient to bring inflation down. That's a quote right off the wire services. So he says the time for moderating the pace of rate increases may come as soon as the December meeting. The market was hanging on every possible thing that could happen to go up. The market kind of wants to go up right here. You know, we never answered the question you asked before the last break, which is, so does that change your idea about what to do about T-bills? Look, I don't know where rates will go in the long run. I just know that the smart money move is to, while the six-month rate is around 4.7%, to go buy Treasury bills instead of leaving your money in a money market account. Sorry for our sponsors and for all the other banks in town. I mean, but please, you haven't been paying depositors for a long time. Part of it was the Fed kept rates low, but now rates are up there. So don't be surprised if anybody who listens to the Wintrust Business Lunch goes to their money market account and says, you're paying me 1.12%. Thank you, I'm opening an account at treasurydirect.gov. On Monday, I'll buy 26 weeks, that's 6 month treasury bills. I'll set it up to automatically roll over 6 months from now at whatever the rate is. And maybe when the banks get the message that money is moving out, they will start offering better deals. And I don't mean a toaster.
815 said the BMO Harris Bank in Winnebago County still redeems paper savings bonds. 847 said, Terry, I just cashed my paper bonds at my Chase branch. It was very easy.
If you must definitely try your own bank, but very few of them will let you do it. And particularly you have a problem if they were your father's bonds and they're still in the name of someone who's deceased. That becomes infinitely more complex. You can try, but Chase downtown, a number of people have told me, will not take your paper bonds and cash them.
Well, you think the one downtown would. Hey, Terry, how about if you give the savings bonds to a minor? How does the income tax work then?
Well, the idea is that you're going to hang on to those bonds, preferably for 20 years or more, so that the child won't be a minor when he or she cashes them in. You buy them in your account, but you create something called a gift box, which is easy to do, and you need your child or grandchild's social security number. But you know you're going to hold them for 5 years, and probably you're going to hold them even longer. And the real bottom line is, I don't know, because if the child is under the age of majority when they're cashed in, then I believe, but I'd have to check on this, that it would be taxed. I don't have a good answer, but I'll find out.
Fair enough. How about this one? Hey, Terry, I have entered retirement. I have a portfolio which in the past year lost $200,000. Moving into 2023, I feel I need to pull back even more. This is my 401k, no other retirement account.
Well, what will happen if the market goes up? How will you feel? Tell me again how old that person was. I was busy writing a note to question the IBON income tax.
It doesn't say, children. But they are in retirement.
They're in retirement. Well, first of all, I would say this. I like it when people reach retirement and then do a rollover. It's a real simple thing to do. You go to Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab or T. Rowe Price, to name a few of the low-cost places, and you say to them, I just retired. I have $112,000 in my 401k. Help me do this. They are all set up to do it. It's really easy to do. Then you have a better choice of mutual funds that are more conservative as you grow older. So I don't know what your choices are in your 401k, but they're probably designed for younger people. It'll take a little more risk to accumulate capital over the long run. So it doesn't matter. You're not paying any taxes. I would suggest this is a time to roll out of that 401k and go to a Fidelity or a Vanguard and say, gee, I want about 40% in the equity income fund. Maybe 20% in a very short-term bond fund, short-term 2-3 years. That's a kind of different investment opportunity that won't be so volatile. But I'm not telling you to get all the way out of the market, because if you're just retired, you've probably got another 25 years to go. And over the long run, stocks have always outpaced inflation.
And if you're selling your equities to do these things, then you're cashing in on the loss, right? Now you're...
No. Wrong. In a retirement account, two key mental things, one factual, one mental. When you do this rollover, number one, yes, they're going to move everything to cash, and whatever the value of that cash is, maybe last year it was worth $782,000 a year ago when the market was up, and now it's only worth $619,000. Forget what you had in there. You have what you have at the moment they sell it and roll it. There is no tax consequence. Now you've got $619,000 in cash to start reinvesting. Never look back. Always make your decisions looking forward. You're not going to recoup your losses. Those weren't really your money until you took it out and spent it and paid taxes on it. So the mental thing is don't look back. And the actual thing is get out of that. Roll it over and start making new investments that give you exposure to the stock market, perhaps in a more conservative way, so you'll have some growth going forward and you could sleep at night.
But you're
don't
saying,
look
but,
back.
But you're saying, I think that was well put. I haven't heard it put that way, and I think that's eloquent and smart. But you're saying take some of the money out of the equities that you have and then reinvest in them, hoping that it'll appreciate. Well, why don't I leave it where it is because it's already invested?
Well, So here's the point. Typically, in a 401k, your choices are much more aggressive funds. The International Growth Fund, the Small Cap Growth Fund. Those are the kinds of things that are volatile, and that keeps you up at night in retirement. Of course, you're looking at the bottom line. It used to be 740, now it's 619. If maybe you're right, maybe the market will rebound, and all those funds will go back up. But the point is, it's the emotional drain once you're not contributing anymore. You're not saying, oh, well, great, my $500 will buy a bargain this month. So part of being retired is recognizing that. Got a half a minute here. When you're working, your retirement money is like, your income is like a river. It's coming in, it's going out, you're spending some, you're paying down your mortgage, you're diverting a little bit into your retirement plan, but that river is flowing. The funniest thing happens to your mind the day you retire.
Yeah, yeah.
That river stops, now you've got a pool. And as you draw on it, or as you lose money because of your investments, the level of the pool sinks. Pretty soon you get scared. So make sure that the water in that pool is calm water, not wavy water that's going to slosh over the side. Pick more conservative investments. I've run you out of time, but it's an important concept in retirement.
TerrySavage.com. TerrySavage.com.
Don't forget Saturday. Saturday morning, AARP at the UIC Student Center.
If you want to hear her speak, go to terrysavage.com. There's a link there for signing up for her presentation. Okay, Terry, good luck. Have fun with that. You betcha. On the Wintrust Business Lunch, here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The cannabis company Verano Holdings has signed a 12-year lease in Chicago's Old Town neighborhood for its headquarters. Crane says the company will occupy 25,000 square feet of space in the office portion of 3 Old Town Park at 224 West Hill between Wells and Orleans. Verano is moving its headquarters from 415 North Dearborn. It'll occupy most of the fourth floor of the building. Crane's also reports Howard Brown Health is considering layoffs as it deals with a drop in pharmacy revenue and federal COVID-19 relief funding. It has to deal with a $12 million revenue gap this year. The report doesn't say how many employees might be affected. Howard Brown has 714 workers. Potential layoffs won't happen until next year sometime. The LGBTQ+-focused healthcare provider is also exploring other cost-cutting measures. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and we're checking in today with our Ukrainian farmer friend, Nick Gordachuk.
Can you hear me?
Well, amazingly enough, we can. Nick has been hard to reach, what with the Russian attacks on the power grid in the Kyiv area. We will hear from him after I thank the Chevy Silverado HD for sponsoring the Business of Food. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Nick's farms are just outside Kyiv, but he lives in the city with his family, and electricity has been hard to get. It's been cut off or rationed, but I called him at just the right time.
I'm very lucky that I have light in my apartment, but just across the road, there are buildings without light. So they turn on one street for 2 hours, they turn it off, then they turn another street for 2 hours. Yeah. I'm lucky and you're lucky that you called just at the right time.
It's hard to tell in his voice, but he says a byproduct of the attacks is stress and all the bad stuff that comes with it.
They have stress, or they had lost their sleep, or they're just nervous and they cannot concentrate. And can you imagine, you come home and there is no electricity. You cannot do anything. You cannot cook. We have all electric stoves. That means that you cannot even heat yourself a cup of tea.
And it's beginning to get cold there. He says Kyiv's climate is similar to Chicago's.
Some parts of the city have heat, some parts of the city don't have heat. That's why now the most popular item to buy is propane gas.
And he says shopping is difficult because of all the power outages.
For example, yesterday my youngest daughter had her 10th birthday, and I had to spend about 3 hours driving around the city to find an open shop to buy a cake.
And that's another casualty of the war. Family, Nick's wife and younger daughter, fled to the safety of France last February and have not felt safe yet to come back.
They had our party here and they had a party there.
Nick believes all of this is part of Putin's plan to bring the Ukrainian people to their knees, and he says it will not work.
I mean, what Russia wants from us, probably, they want people to start complaining to the government so the government will start negotiating.
But despite the hardships, he says Ukrainians are all in on kicking out the Russians.
I have some feeling that by spring or summer, there will be some good news from the battlefield.
Tomorrow, Nick will talk about farming or trying to farm without electricity. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Guess what's coming back downtown Chicago starting tomorrow? It's the One of a Kind show. Here to tell us a little bit about it is Lisa Simonian, the Vice President of Marketing at the Merchandise Mart. Hey, Lisa, how are you today?
Hi, good. How are you?
You guys good?
We're
headed downsize.
We're busy here.
Yeah, well, and I think we're all glad to hear that for a host of reasons. It's just good to see people coming back down during the holidays. You had to downsize the show last year, right?
We did, yeah. We didn't have a show in 2020. And then in December 2021, we had about 300 artists participating where, you know, pre-pandemic, we were at about 650. This year, we'll have over 500. So, you know, close to 80% of where we were pre-pandemic. It's coming back, and we're really excited to share all of the talented work from our artists and makers who are coming from across the country, as well as from internationally, to be here.
This is at the Merchandise Mart. It starts tomorrow through Sunday, the 1st through the 4th. It's called the One of a Kind Show and Sale. The website is oneofakindshowchicago.com, oneofakindshowchicago.com. And as she said, it's fine art, it's handmade goods, they've got gourmet cafes and bar areas, live entertainment. What are some of the either featured items? Is there something you want to shine a light on for the show this year?
You know what? The best thing to do is to make sure that you have comfortable shoes on and you walk the entire show. Because what's special to me, you know, maybe it's something different that's special to you. I mean, there's so much original and unique artwork and goods from, you know, from these talented makers that, you know, the best thing to do is to walk all 10 aisles of the show. You know, the show covers the entire 7th floor of the Merchandise Mart. So that's, you know, 200,000 square feet. So, you know, so plan to come, you know, for, you know, if not a full day, a half day, and wear comfortable shoes.
Portions of the proceeds from the event go to the Lurie Children's Hospital here in Chicago.
Right.
That's nice. That's a great gesture. Do I pay to get into the show then?
Yes. Tickets are $15, and they're good for all 4 days of the show. You can buy them on our website, or you can buy them at the box office when you get here.
I make the purchase, and I carry it right out the front door. Is that how it works?
That's how it works, yeah.
And then there are items large and small, I presume?
Yes. You know, everything from, you know, 2D art, and sculpture to jewelry to housewares. There's a little bit of everything. The categories and the media span 20 different categories. So you know, there's something for everyone, and it's the best place in Chicago to find unique gifts for everyone on your holiday list.
What a great way to spend a weekend! Come into the city. Do whatever it is you want to do and make sure that you stop at the Merchandise Mart. Friday's high, 51 degrees. Saturday's high, 51. Sunday's high, 41. No snow or rain. So come on downtown and enjoy the Merchandise Mart, oneofakindchicago.com. All right, good luck to you. Thanks for joining us today, Lisa.
Hope to see you here.